never forget why you are the church. We'll be happy, and Lord, say amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. All right. They said that if we might not have the PowerPoint, so what we're going to do is this morning, we'll have to do it old-fashioned. If there is a theme verse, we might just have to turn to it actually in the Bible. Could you imagine that? So hopefully, if you have not opened the Bible recently, or if you don't know where certain books are, just know that we'll, for the most part, be staying in the New Testament, so you should be okay. But Romans chapter 1, remember, this book contains foundational theology regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. One put it like this: to understand Romans is to understand much. A lot of the memory verses that our kids memorize, especially in Awanas, a lot of the memory verses that we memorize in order to lead someone to Christ, and we know about the Roman road to salvation, all these things are according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the gospel is the center of our life as a believer. We are to live the gospel. We are to show the gospel. I love there. Finally, there's going around the debunking of an old saying. And we talked about it on Wednesday night. But there's an old saying that says, hey, you know what? You preach to them by the life that you live. You share the gospel by the life that you live. Can I tell you something? That's okay. That's not a bad thing. We definitely need to live in a godly way. We definitely need to live according to Scripture. We should not cause questions to people that don't know Jesus whether we're doing right or wrong. However, the Bible says clearly in Romans 10 that we are to open our mouths and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to actually verbally share that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. And you have been sent to do so. So the gospel is very important. That's why Paul could write Romans 1:16, another very familiar scripture. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Why else is the gospel so important? Well, it's through the gospel message, it's through Jesus that we can actually know who we are. Now, that's not too small. That's be perfect. Can y'all see that a little bit? Hey, man, I was starting to sweat already. It's tough when you sweat on the first page, amen? But we'll get through it. But it's the gospel message that helps us understand who we are. This world is full to the brim with people looking for identity, people looking for purpose, and people simply looking for a reason to be here. Now, I don't know where you stand on certain things, but you're about to know where I stand on certain things. Amen? That's one of the privileges and the honors of being able to do this on a regular basis. But can I tell you something? The world tells you that you can just make up your identity, that you can just switch it and go back and forth and back and forth. And if you feel this way, then that's fine. If you feel that way, that's okay. But no one can tell you otherwise. No one can tell you that it's wrong. No one can try to lead you in the truth. Why? Because if you do, you're a bigot. You're not tolerant. You're hateful. You're all these things. Can I tell you something? People are looking. There's a reason why we see that in our society today. The further we go away from society as a Bible-believing people, you say, well, not everyone always has believed in the Bible. Our nation, at one time, if they didn't believe, they at least respected God. And not too long ago, people, they may have not gone to church, but they respected even the church house. They may have not known that individual as a pastor, but they respected that man as a man of God. They were reverent towards the things of God. We are quickly going away from that in our culture. I was listening to a video. I need to quit listening to the videos, amen? But I was listening to a video, and a certain person by the name of Dylan Mulvaney. Anyone ever heard of Dylan Mulvaney? That's a dude. But anyway, we might actually on Facebook get tagged for this. So I'm going to tell you right now, we don't need to tell Dylan Mavaney that it's okay to do what he's doing. We need to share the gospel with him. But you know what the church does a whole lot? And this is a little commercial for you. You know what the church does a whole lot? We hate people like that. And we show them that we hate them. But you know what we do? We do that in such a way. How in the world could we? I'm not saying it's right. Don't think I say it's okay to go hate. I'm saying the way they see the church is they hate me because of who I am. No. We hate sin, absolutely. But we need to, in love, share the gospel with anyone and everyone, whether they look like us, live like us, believe like us. It does not matter. Every single person can have an opportunity to come to Christ. And we can do that. We're full to the brim of people just looking for a reason, looking for identity, looking for purpose. I'm telling you, you work in the school system at any time, they have no purpose. Many of them just wandering this earth, going after the next feeling that feels good. But the world has nothing to offer. So they do all they can to numb that pain. Church, I want you to know that Jesus offers these answers. Jesus tells us exactly who we are. While the world confuses the poor people, God tells us exactly who we are and what we are to do. And Paul makes this clear in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. As a believer, if you're a believer, say amen. Amen. You are his servant, you are called, and you are to be set apart from the world. Not better than the world, but different from the world. Praise the Lord. Well, that's just Paul. Don't you lie? I had someone tell me one time they didn't agree with something that I said, and I quoted scripture. So that, in other words, they didn't agree with what the word said. So they said, well, that's not Jesus. That's the writings of Paul. Can I tell you how dangerous that mindset is? So I want you to understand something. When the scripture was written, it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God just as well could have written every word in this Bible himself, because he did through his chosen servants. So just understand something. When we don't agree with anything, it's funny how when we agree, everything's okay. But all of a sudden, when we disagree, everything just goes into shambles. If you think that's just for Paul, we'll go down a little bit to verses 6 and 7. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Amen. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called for what? To be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you are called to be saints. That word saints literally means holy ones, or those who are set apart. So we talked about in verse 1, do you know your role? How has God gifted and called you to serve him? A Christian who does not fully understand who they are is a Christian who will not know what they are to do. And I want you to know something. You are called and gifted to do something. Amen? I can't tell you exactly what it is. If you ask me, I'll give you my opinion. But you are called to do something. So knowing your role in the family of God is important. But it's also important to understand how you are known. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The title this morning is very simple. I already told you. How are you known? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, this message is not going to be easy to preach. This message is not going to be easy to hear. Lord, I was going one direction and you made me go another direction. So, Lord God, I pray through the efforts, God, of this servant, through the prayer, through the tears, God, Lord, I pray that your word is spoken today and received. And if anything is to keep people from receiving this word, God, I pray that it ceases to exist in this moment. God, we thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to hear me. What people think about you is what they know about you. People will make an opinion not based on what they, not based on what you just told them. They're going to make an opinion based on what they know about you personally. People say, well, that's not really who I am. Well, that's what you are showing you are. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? I just prayed the barriers away. Come on now. All right, stay with me this morning. But listen, what you show in your life that you are, that is how people are going to know you for. How were the saints in Rome known? For their faith. Not their disputings, not their disagreements, not their differences. Their faith in God showed out in every part of their life. We need to realize something. How you are known individually is also how people will view the church. You say, why do people hate the church so much? Why do people dislike the church so much? It could be because of you. I'm just being honest. It could be because of me. Listen, hey, we say all the time, I want you to know something. And you know, people say, well, the pastor's to make visits and this and that and all this stuff. Hey, yes, and I do my best to make visits once a week and all the stuff. Can I tell you something? If people outside of church get visited only by the pastor, once that pastor shows them any kind of weakness or flaw, or once I mess up eventually, which I will, guess what they're going to think? They're going to think, well, I'm not going to go to Cedar Grove because of the pastor. But see, what happens is if we're a church that's known by our faith and known by us being an actual church that goes out and does, when more people are loving and more people are going and more people are serving, and people don't just see, oh, Cedar Grove, that's Pastor Jacob, but they see Cedar Grove, man, that's an awesome group of people that love Jesus, that serve in their community. All of a sudden, listen, hey, our weaknesses are there, yes, but they can be overcome through our testimony of as a church. Is this going over some people's heads? This one, I want you to understand, this is very important for us this morning. Their faith showed out in every part of their life. So how should we interact with each other? Because that's important. I want you to know, me and my parents, we have a very unique way of interaction. I don't know if you've ever seen me interact with my mom and dad, but it's unique. A lot of people say, man, are y'all mad at each other? No, I love that dude. I love that woman. What are you talking about? They're my friend. No, and it's just the way we interact. But can I tell you, as much as that is, our interactions do matter. Because when people see certain interactions, when people see how you treat people, when people see how you talk to people, when people see these things, when people see us fellowshipping together, they're going to make an assumption. They're going to make an opinion. And that opinion to them will become what? Fact. How you are known is important. So how are we to be known? Well, we see first that Paul gives thanks for the beloved of God, that is the saints. And we know this is the will of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everyone say, in everything. Say it. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Not just the good times. Not just the okay times. Not just when you've had your coffee in the morning, not when you got all 8 hours of sleep at night, not when things were good, not when we just play your favorite song during worship, but in everything, the Bible says, give thanks. In all of it, the good, the bad, gratitude is the solution to bad attitude. You hearing me? Listen, I struggle with a critical spirit. I struggle with negativity. Understand, if God has revealed anything to me, this person, if I have a bad attitude, I'm not being thankful. A bad attitude is the opposite of gratitude. If you struggle with negativity, you will struggle with being thankful. This is true in every part of our life, but especially within the church family. Now, I have been told before, maybe I have said this, and I'm over the years, I'll say things, you know, once, twice, 1,000 times. But I have been told, I was told by a brother of mine, who was in ministry, and we were going to lunch one day at the church, and he was here, and he told me, he said, Jacob, he said, your biggest strength is going to be your biggest weakness. And I'm like, man, I love this conversation. This is the kind of conversation I want to have. My biggest strength is my biggest weakness. That's amazing. That's great. I said, what do you mean? He says, you are so transparent that at some point it's going to bite you. And I was like, well, I was like, that's okay. And so I pondered and I mulled on that, I chewed on that. And I want you to know, hey, listen, it has bitten me before. Amen. And it's very easy. And maybe you've seen that in church life, if you're too transparent, you know, things don't work out like they should or whatever it is. But I want you to know something. I am transparent. Over the years, I have learned that you cannot force people to do what you want them to do. You cannot force them to participate. Although I would love to force you to participate. I want you to know, if I could be a dictator, I would. Just know. But you cannot force anyone to participate. You cannot force anyone to worship. You cannot force anyone to read throughout the week their Bible, God's word. You cannot force anyone to come in passionate and live passionate for Christ. You cannot force anyone to stay. And I don't care the reason, whether right or wrong. If you want transparency, it always hurts. But in that hurt, listen to me now. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In that hurt, it is so easy to be negative, unkind, even spiteful towards those who you cannot force to be what you want them to be. But I have learned, however, that it is in that hurt that I can be thankful. Thankful for those who remain and faithfully serve. Thankful for the ministry that has been done. Thankful for all the good times. Thankful for the lessons learned in the not so good times. Church, even in church hurt, we can be thankful. The people that will bother you the most are the people that you love the most. And most of the time, they're the ones that are most like you the most. May we be known as a thankful church for each other and for each other's faith. If you're with me, say amen. And as you are thankful, this will produce. So he says that we are to be known to be thankful, but also it'll produce a purposeful prayer life. Everyone look at verse 9. If you're there, say read. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul wasn't just thankful. Paul was prayerful. The church does a good job, or church people does a good job at putting out the resemblance of being prayerful, but do we actually truly live it? For example, have you ever told somebody, well, I'm going to pray for you, and then never pray for them? Have you ever told someone, I'm going to pray for that situation? You do realize that situations usually last longer than a two-second prayer. Does anyone else, thank you, Brother Ken. Does anyone else understand what I'm saying this morning? Listen, hey, we say these things, but do we actually do them? Maybe once, maybe twice, but how often do we pray for each other in a way that is without ceasing? I've also learned, and when I mow, I'm on my parents' yard. It takes me about 3.5 hours, and it's sometimes the greatest 3.5 hours of my life or the worst 3.5 hours of my life. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't put music on, but I cover my ears, you know, because it's too loud. And I just sit there on the mower. And man, it's very easy either to think about the good things or the bad things. It's very easy to think about all the things that are going wrong or to ponder on the things that are going right. It's very easy to become a situation to where literally you get furious and you get angry and you get upset and you get discouraged. I want you to understand something. You know what I've found out? And I did this literally last Monday. I was on the mower and I started going down that route of just negativity. And you know what I did? I started praying for those people that I was thinking about. And you know what happened? That negativity went away. And you know what God replaced it with? A heart of compassion. Please hear me this morning. The negativity went away because I began praying for those that, I began praying for the people that maybe were hurting, or praying for the people that maybe were going through something, and just praying for the people that maybe had irritated the fire out of me. But in that moment, instead of being angry, instead of being negative, God had placed in my heart a compassionate mindset towards them. And let me just tell you something. When you pray compassionately, you will pray passionately. But if there are two areas where the church today is weak, it is in the areas of prayer and praise. And for many of us, those weaknesses are intertwined. How do you expect to praise God when we haven't even talked to God throughout the week? Everyone turn to James chapter 5. This is where God brought me. James chapter 5. I want you to actually turn there because I know it's up there, but I want us to really look at this. This is one of those texts that can easily be taken out of context if used in a way that was never intended. If you want to build a theology, by the way, of prayer, James is a good place to start, amen? By the way, the average reader, okay, maybe not you, but the average reader can read James in 15 minutes. It takes me a little bit longer, but in about 15 to 20 minutes, the average reader can read all the way through the book of James. But James has a lot of prayer in it, but especially in regards to each other. Then we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, and this is what it says. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Now, you might be thinking exactly what I thought when God took me to this text. Lord, why are we talking about sick people? Now, granted, we do have sick people in our church and they need prayer. Amen. They need healing. But I said, there has to be another reason. And I'm not saying that I don't. Listen, if you think that I have studied the Greek on every single verse in the Bible, come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just not the case. But I had to dig a little bit deeper. Why are we talking about praying for the sick? Many believe this means that physical healing is a simple prayer away. Now, I want you to know something. It could be. I'm not going to limit what God can do. But in my experience, it's usually not that way. I have sat by hospital beds. I have sat by death beds. I have sat in people's homes that were sick. Listen, I have been there and they have told me, preacher, with tears going down their eyes, preacher, pray for my healing. Pray for my loved one's healing. Pray for my child. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. And you know what I do? In tears, I begin to pray for them. But you know what happens? It hasn't happened yet. I pray it happens one day. But that doesn't mean that they're just immediately healed. We've even had, listen, I don't know if I should tell this. Well, I might tell this funny story. It's not funny. Should I tell a story, Jacob? I don't know. Okay. All right. I just did what I used to do in my head out loud, okay? So listen, so I had a person come up, and everyone remember Brother Henry? I might have told a story before. I'm going to tell it again. Because I do believe what the Bible says. And so he said, Brother, can you anoint me with oil? And I said, absolutely. And everyone loved Brother Henry. I said, you know what, Brother Henry, listen, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this with the church, okay? We're gonna go up and man, we wanna put our hands on you, we wanna put oil. So I went to Lifeway. Does anyone remember Lifeway in Providence? The moment that store closed, I knew society was downhill from there. You know what I'm saying? Like I've worked there, I enjoyed that store. So man, I'll never forget it. I was nervous as can be. I was like, man, what if we pray for him? And what if we put this, you know, frankincense or whatever was I had on him, and he doesn't heal? I was literally thinking, are they going to doubt the Bible? Are they going to doubt Scripture? What's going on? So I began to pray, and I had peace that, hey, according to God's will, right? But we got to have the oil. Man, we had him down here, and I'll never forget. It was the first time. Now, listen, I'm talking about, like, within the first year of me preaching, okay? This church hired a 21-year-old preacher, all right? That's on you, not on me. But anyway, so he was sitting right here, man. And, dude, I didn't know how much. I kind of looked it up. It kind of said, you know, just, you know. So I took that little bottle, man. I'm like, like that right there. And I'm right. It was literally right here. And I'm like, that ain't enough. And I'm like, now, I'm not making fun of the process, but I'm making fun of me, okay? All right? Because God can work through all the craziness that I did just then, okay? But I'm sitting there not knowing really what to do, and man, we're praying, and I may not have been knowing what was exactly going on, but I'm telling you, we were praying for this brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, that part was right, amen? And I'll never forget, we got done. I'm telling you, I had used all the oil, and, you know, hey, in faith. But anyway, so I used all the oil, and man, I'm sitting there, and Brother Henry's sitting down, and people are starting to leave, and I had put a towel over his neck, you know, and he goes, man, he said, thank you, brother. He said, you got a towel, it's all up in my eyes. And I'm telling you, he looked up, and that oil was all up in his eyeballs. But anyway, so there's my James 5 story on that. But listen, hey, regardless, what does this actually mean? Does it actually mean that, hey, just pray and it'll go away? Well, not always. So it cannot mean just that, or at least only that. So let's go a little bit deeper. What is James saying when he uses the word sick? Well, the Greek word here is asthenēo. Asthenēo. Now, what does asthenēo mean? Well, it literally means to be weak. In the Gospels, this term sick is typically used to convey physical maladies and illnesses and things that are wrong physically. But once you get to the book of Acts and the epistles, it typically refers to a weak faith or a weak conscience. Now, stay with me this morning, okay? Let's see some examples. Acts 20 says this, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak." That's the same word, asthenao. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we continue, Romans 6:19 says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, asthenao, of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members' servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members' servants to righteousness unto holiness." Romans 14:1 says this, "Him that is weak, asthenao, in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." 1 Corinthians 8, this is a little bit longer. "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak, asthenao. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" And we continue. "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak, asthenao, conscience, ye sin against Christ." Now, these verses obviously do not mean a physical illness. These verses obviously do not mean that they just have a cold or they have a stomach ache or whatever it is. That's not what these verses are talking about here. In addition to that, James 5 verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." That word "sick" is a different word. It's kamno, which literally means to be discouraged, to be weary. I want you to take a moment and let that sink in, Cedar Grove. With that understanding, how about we read it again? "Is any weak among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the discouraged, the weary. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now look at verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Hear me this morning, church. If our church needs something, it is healing. I know that many of us are weary. I'm right there with you. I know that many of us can be discouraged. Listen, hey, I can be right there with you. Life is not going to give in. That's why it breaks my heart every single time someone who is weak and weary and discouraged, they go to something else other than the Lord for answers, and they just become more weak and more weary and more discouraged. I don't know what it is. It could be disputing among the brethren. It could be sin in your life. It could also be simply that life has hit you with the unexpected. It could be the grueling routine that you have in your life. What is the answer? What is possibly, what can we do to help? What can we do to obtain healing? The Bible tells us we can pray for each other. Romans 1:9, "For God is my witness." He's saying, hey, believe me. Believe me when I say this. "Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." If we are going to be known for anything here at Cedar Grove, let it be that we are thankful for each other's faith and that we are in constant prayer for one another. This kind of prayer, hear me, This kind of prayer removes pride. You know, most of the time that I get angry and I get upset and disgruntled, it's usually because something didn't go the way I want it to go. It's usually because, hey, you know what? Why, if this happens and that's going to happen and this and then, and now we're back to square one and all these things. Hey, listen, when you pray this kind of prayer, it removes that pride. This kind of prayer overrides disagreements. This kind of prayer leaves no room for unforgiveness. Is any among you suffering? Pray. Is any merry? Sing to the Lord. Is any weak? Let us pray over you. If the prayer of faith will save the weary and discouraged. Do you have sin in your life? Have you sinned against another? Confess to each other and pray for each other. And the Bible says, be healed. You say, I don't believe in healing. Oh, I do. Church, how will we be known? And I'm not talking about when it says confess sins, I'm not saying, hey, if I have. Most of the time when I say, if I have sinned against you, you know what I'm not wanting to say? What I've sinned against you. It says confess your faults, not the idea of your faults. Maybe you say, I don't even know what to pray. And I'll be honest with you. I got here early this morning. I sat right here in this seat right here. Usually I'll get to the altar, but I sat right here, my hands in my pockets. I'm not going to lie to you. My shoulders were kind of slumped a little bit. I was just feeling some weight. And I sat there for a good 10 or 15 minutes, just nothing. And then I finally was like, Lord, you're going to have to teach me to pray right now. I know how to pray. I know the model we have in Scripture. But right now, in this moment, you're just going to have to... You're going to have to minister to me because I don't have anything to say. Now, listen, I know some of you thinking, oh, Jacob, is there something wrong? Nothing is wrong. I just love this church. Is that okay with y'all? I just love y'all. As a matter of fact, listen, I'm more loving now and I can't stand it. It makes life more difficult. To be compassionate. Brother Nick, I'm telling you right now, it used to be why I didn't care, but like, whatever, man, there's a door. Don't let the good Lord split you. You know what I'm saying? But or hit you with a... Don't let it happen. I've not said it in a long time. I might need to refresh myself on that one. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. There it is. I probably shouldn't repeat that. Anyway, okay. But that's my style. But I'm telling you right now, when you start really digging into God's word, that kind of thing, I'll take them or leave them. Whatever. We'll just do us. We'll just do me. Can't find that here. You won't find it. There's been times I've looked for it. Look through Scripture. Where's that Scripture? Don't let the door hit you with a... It's not in there. But you know what is in there? Love each other. Pray for each other. Forgive each other. But you say, maybe I don't know what to pray. Paul gives a pretty good example. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, thank you for bearing with me with all the moving in the Bible. I understand usually I don't get you to turn to it, but I want you to this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. This is Paul. Now he's writing to another church, right? The saints at Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. But he says this in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, that's what they were known for, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? In other words, he's not just praying, Lord, help them. He's praying specifically, Lord, give them this. Give them wisdom. Give them power. Give them understanding. How is this possible? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Sometimes we need to acknowledge our weaknesses. We need to acknowledge that we're weary. We need to acknowledge that we're discouraged, so that somebody that we love can pray for us. Because I can tell you, church, there's another thing I've learned as being a pastor for the last 7 years. It's a great burden to know that people are hurting, to know that families are absolutely being attacked, to know that marriages are in shambles. Not all of us know, but it's a unique burden to know that children are going wayward, to know that someone's faith is being weakened, to know that somebody is angry and bitter and unforgiving. We need healing. You might be here and thinking, what in the world is going on? All I'm saying is this. Life is tough. And we may not have had a personal conversation. I may not know what's going on particularly in your life, but I can tell you this. I'm not a betting man, but I tell you, I can go ahead and guarantee you there's something going on in your life where you're suffering as well. They were known for their faith and their love. What are we known for? What are we known for?